Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this third day of May, 2019. And I am thrilled to have a returning guest today who is going to be speaking on a very serious and important issue. Not that we don't typically have serious and important issues on the program, but this is an issue that may be something, a topic that's unfamiliar to many of our listeners. We are going to be discussing hyperpreterism, and to discuss that today is Samuel M. Frost. He was one of the leading figures defending and promoting and proselytizing hyperpreterism. Of course, he didn't call it that at that time. He would just have called it preterism or full preterism or realized eschatology or a number of nicknames that this eschatological view has been given. He is also the author of the book, Why I Left Full Preterism. And our specific title today is, Are Hyperpreterists Our Brethren in Christ When Eschatology Becomes a Matter of Salvation? We're also going to be discussing an upcoming debate that's actually going to be held, God willing, tomorrow in Malvern, Long Island, at the Church of the Intercessor. This is going to be a debate that our guest is having with Michael Miano, who is a pastor on Long Island, New York, who promotes this view of eschatology that my guest and I and many others in the Reformed faith and elsewhere believe to be a dangerous heresy. But this debate is going to be held tomorrow, May 4th, at 7 p.m. at Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, Long Island, New York, and we'll give you more details in a bit. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Sam Frost.
Chris, good to talk to you again, and thank you for having me on the program.
Well, I thank you for being on the program with very little notice. I just found out about the debate maybe 2 or 3 days ago at the most, and I was thrilled to be able to get Sam on with very little notice because I think so highly of Sam, and I also think this is an important subject that we are discussing today. Sam, if you could, even though you have been on the program before, you gave us your entire testimony. There are many people, I'm sure, who are hearing you for the first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so I'd like you to give a summary of how you got into hyper-preterism. Also, as I said before, it's called by its advocates things like just preterism or full preterism or realized eschatology or covenant eschatology, many other things. But how did you first hear about it, and what was your eschatological view at the time you heard about it, and how were you led into it? Oh, well, actually, let's step back. Let's step back a couple of paces. Define it. Define hyperpreterism, and I know that it is not a monolithic group. They're not all identical, but those who advocate it. But if you could just give us a summary definition that would be generally held universally by all who would be in the camp of full preterism.
Well, I'll give you the definition of it as I would have defended it when I was teaching it, so as to be fair. Basically, it's taking the idea that Jesus's sayings, when it came to the end, you know, wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, end of the age, last days, resurrection of the dead, all of that kind of material was fulfilled by 70 AD. And the reason why we say 70 AD is because of the phrase, which is, has, as you know, has caused some problems with interpretation, and that's the phrase, this generation. Jesus said not one thing, but you'll see all these things in this generation. And so if we say that, who is the audience that Jesus was originally talking to, how would they have understood that? Then that would have been their contemporary generation, which means that all the things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, all the things that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 8, where it talks about the redemption of the body and the yearning and groaning of creation. The book of Revelation, obviously, as a whole. All of that is fulfilled and describes that generation of the first century up until the times of the war of the Jews with the Romans in 70 AD. And so we utilize a lot of Josephus, the historian Josephus, whose famous work, Antiquities and War of the Jews, which every historian knows. And so there's an air of plausibility to that when you first, because when you go into either Bible college or you're getting, and I'm getting my Bachelor of Theology degree at the time, this was 1980s. So you're hearing all this for the first time, and so it's, and then you see that there's other people that mention 70 AD, and it kind of brings you in. But the hyper-preterist, the full preterist, we take it all in 70 AD. So 1 Corinthians 15 is fulfilled in 70 AD. 1 Thessalonians 4 is fulfilled. Matthew 24, all of it is fulfilled in 70 AD. So that's basically the idea of what's going on there. And I think, you know, you hearing that, you know, your reaction to that initially is I think first and foremost is, well, how do you get the resurrection of the dead in 70 AD? Well, that's where we differ, obviously, from
right.
everyone else.
And brother, I don't know if you are speaking too closely to your mouthpiece or something, but you're over-modulating a little bit, and I have turned down, as far as I can
yeah.
turn down everything on my end, I have turned down the volumes, but you, perhaps if you, I usually have the opposite problem with my guests. They're too quiet. So if there's anything you could do to back away from the mouth, yeah, or something, because I'm fine with it, but it may be a little annoying to our listeners on the radio.
Oh, okay. All right. Hopefully this is better than
right now. You sound fine.
Right. Okay. Perfect.
Right this second, anyway.
Okay. I'll keep. I got it held in a certain way. So.
Now, from what I remember from our last interview, you and I have in common the fact that we are both partial preterists, which is a completely biblical and orthodox and faithful eschatology to have. I happen to be of the amillennial stripe, optimistic amillennial and partial preterist, and I believe you may be a postmillennial.
I would be amillennial.
Oh, you would? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, see, this is where the problem comes in, because just like with hyper-Calvinism, and let me fill you in, folks, for those of you who are not theologically reformed, hyper-Calvinism is not the belief in the 5 points of Calvinism, which many non- or anti-Calvinists will say. They will say anybody who believes, especially in limited atonement and unconditional election, they will say, oh, that person is a hyper-Calvinist. No, that's historic biblically faithful Calvinism, but there are those that are, I believe, dangerously heretical who take a good thing too far, and they start eisegeting things in the rest of the scripture that remove the other aspect of biblical truth. When you take in consideration the whole counsel of God, the hyper-Calvinist will tend to take away or nullify all of the biblical truth, all of the texts that teach that man is responsible, They may even take away the texts that teach that man does have, in a certain context, a free will. He has a free will to choose according to his nature and his desires. He is not forced against his will either to believe in Christ or to sin. But he cannot, in the deadness of his sin, savingly believe upon Christ. So he needs a new heart that is given to him by Christ, and has a new spirit within him in order to believe and obey God. But in the same way, you have a hyper-preterist movement that sees some truths that many in the body of Christ do not see. They see nearly any prophecy in the Bible as being an event in our future that is yet to be fulfilled. And I believe that the majority of the body of Christ, whether they be dispensationalists or otherwise, are in error with some of the texts that Sam and I and quite a number of people would believe are already fulfilled or have already taken place.
Right.
But the hyper-preterist goes too far, just like the hyper-Calvinist does. And let's also get our vocabulary straight, because as I said before, when our guests, or should I say our listeners, meet a hyper-preterist, they are never going to call themselves that. And one of the dangers is that many partial preterists call themselves simply preterists, and hyper-preterists also simply very often call themselves preterists without any kind of an adjective to further describe that.
Historically, the term preterist has been around for a long time. That was applied actually to Calvin. His interpretation of Daniel 9, for example, was the editors of Calvin's commentaries make note that Calvin took the preterist view. That's how it was pronounced. Was the preterist view. But just a preterist just simply means past. It's a Latin for past. And so it just became this thing that where on texts that had to deal with eschatology, if you interpreted that as already happening or already happened, or if you interpreted it as something as future, you took a preterist view. Never was it used as for somebody that took every single prophecy in the Bible as fulfilled in the past by the time of 70 AD. So you had to delineate the term, I think around in the 1980s where this term full preterist started coming into vogue. Because that adjective had to describe what kind of preterist, because there's all kinds of preterists. There's all kinds of different preterists.
Yeah, there's even an old...
preterism everywhere.
Yeah, and there's also different kinds of partial preterists. For instance, two of the leading figures today teaching a partial preteristic view are Gary DeMar and Ken Gentry.
Yeah.
And even though they are both friends and both heavily promote each other's ministries and books, they don't even agree on everything in regard to the preterist view. In fact, they disagree on Matthew 24 and other things.
Yeah. But even a dispensationalist on certain passages... like you'll see the city surrounded by armies. The dispensationalist understands that's 70 AD, so that would be a preterist method or a preterist interpretation. So that's how I use that term. So you can see that term preterist, it just applies to certain types of things. And so then we had to come up with, well, partial preterist. Well, so that's a relatively new term because, but this is what we were trying to do, is hijack the term preterism, that preterism only has, so that we could stop using the phrase full preterist. We just call ourselves preterists. You know, that's what we were. But, you know, I didn't like doing that because of this historic usage of the word. So I would just label all this as just preterism, and then you have full preterism. So, you know, because partial preterism, we would make fun of that term. How can you be partial past?
Right, but it's still...
Because everybody's partial past, and so we would make fun of that particular term. And
right.
That's the kind of stuff we sit around with, too much time on our hands.
Right. Well, I continue to call myself a partial preterist because I don't want anybody to think for a second that I am a full or hyper preterist.
Right.
Because
I
believe it is that dangerous and heretical. Some of the other nicknames, just so our listeners know, to keep their ears and eyes open for those in this camp of hyper-preterism, they would, I know that they sometimes call themselves believers in realized eschatology and and covenant eschatology. Do you know any other phrases that they use?
Covenant eschatology is, that's a pretty fresh term that's used for a particular type of full preterist, which is almost exclusively theirs. There's another term, transmillennialist. Realized eschatology, as you probably know from C.H. Dodd, C.H. Dodd's realized eschatology, we're going back here to the 1950s, is nothing like what you would, the way the full preterists are using it. But they do use that term, realized eschatology. Full preterism, the most popular term still on Facebook or any other social media is still full preterist.
Okay, so
they don't have any problems using that term. Yeah, they don't refer. I never had a problem when I was a full preterist. I never had problems with that term. It's just what we were. We were full preterists.
All right. Well, and by the way, just another reminder, if you could back away from the mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, before we go into greater depth as far as the primary texts of Scripture championed by the hyper-preterists and why this issue is a salvific issue or an issue that turns eschatology into an issue that I believe brothers in Christ can have great differences on eschatology, but this issue turns eschatology, in my opinion, into a matter of spiritual life and death. But before we go into all of those things, let's just talk for a minute about the debate, since it is tomorrow, and we want to give people plenty of time to make plans to attend this tomorrow, Saturday, May 4th, 7 p.m., at the Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, Long Island, New York. The Church of the Intercessor, I believe, is a member of the Charismatic Episcopal denomination. They have been around for quite a long time. I remember many years ago, I had friends when I was still living on Long Island who were members there, and they used to go to the home of my friend, or should I say my friends, Bob and Mary Lou Posh, who lived in Baldwin, Long Island. Bob was and still is, a Roman Catholic, and he used to invite me and other evangelicals to his home so that we would eat, drink, and argue. And that actually gave rise...
That's good.
That actually gave rise to the Protestant versus Roman Catholic debates that I arranged on Long Island for a decade. That all came to be as a result of Bob Posh being a Roman Catholic. His wife was, at the time, a member of the Church of the Intercessor, but she later converted to Catholicism. But they would have, I would say, close to 20 people from Church of the Intercessor at these barbecues, and also in the wintertime, indoor parties that they would have. So I have been aware of this congregation for quite a long time. I remember when Craig Bates was the pastor, and I'd like to give a shout-out to Rick Zepernick. I believe he may still be a member there. I'm not sure, but he would be at these parties every year. But anyway, this debate is going to be on the specific theme, is the coming of Christ and resurrection of the dead and the fullness of the new heaven and new earth, past or future? If you could explain that in a little bit more detail.
Well, and again, hopefully I'm far away from the mic here.
You're still overmodulating a little bit, but we got to do what we got to do. There's nothing I can do on my end.
That's right. Obviously, to say that we're in the new heavens and new earth right now, as you and I are speaking, we would have to radically do something to that phrase and definition to make it work, from as opposed to the way that the definition has been used historically. The way the definition new heavens and new earth has been used, both in rabbinic Jewish literature as well as in Christian literature for, 1800 years, is that God is going to restore creation itself and a new heavens and a new earth, quite literally. And that's how that phrase more or less has been understood. To say that we're in the new heavens and the new earth now, as we speak, one has to radically redefine the understanding in terms of a spiritual understanding. And they get, we got that because it seems like the New Testament, spiritualizes things. And I know that you can watch a lot of, Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey or, where people are, we're not religious, we're spiritual. And so again, that kind of spiritualizing is kind of in the air today. And, people who don't know better can fall into that and thinking, well, what's wrong with, Chris, what's so wrong with spiritualizing the new heavens and the new earth? We're spiritually in the kingdom of God. We're spiritually seated in heavenly places. We're spiritually this, we're spiritually that. And that's where the segue comes in to where we can start slowly chipping away at this idea of a literal new heavens and a literal new earth, and begin to float the idea that that came when the temple was sacked by the Romans. And keep in mind, all that the temple represented of the old, right? So that's the old world. That's the old covenant world. And all that the temple represented was the old world. So in light of that falling of the old world, what would be the coming in of the new world, of the new heavens and of the new earth? Well, it'd be the new covenant. And it's under that umbrella that we are able to begin to work out this kind of theological redefinings would be a better way to say it, of terms like resurrection of the body, where that's the body of Christ. The corporate body of Christ is raised from the old man, putting off the old covenant man and coming into the new covenant man. That's resurrection of the dead. So we start going into that kind of stuff. That's how we do it. And I'm interested in hearing your take just initially hearing this, because you have to admit, on the surface, if you didn't know any better, there is a ring of plausibility to it. You could see where somebody who doesn't know any better was like, I can kind of see that. And that's where we start, drawing people in, that coupled with this generation, this generation will see all these things, so all these things are fulfilled. Well, how do you fulfill new heavens and new earth? How do you fulfill resurrection of the body? How do you fulfill? Well, maybe we had all those definitions wrong, and maybe we need to go back and redefine all these kinds of things in a more spiritual manner. And what we call, you mentioned covenant eschatology. That's why the phrase is used. We're not full preterists, but this is covenant eschatology, because all of our terms are rooted in redefining these terms in terms of covenant. From old covenant, old world, old man, old body, old life in Adam to new life, new covenant, new man, the new spirit. And that's where we're able to use that language to justify all things being fulfilled in 70 AD. I don't know initially if that would make any sense to you. It did to this young theologian back in the end of the 80s and early 90s.
And forgive me.
It made sense to me.
And forgive me for if you said this and I forgot. Where were you theologically and eschatologically when you first heard about hyperpreterism? I mean,
well, I was reading back in the late 80s, a gang in Tyler, Texas. This was Gary DeMar, Ray Sutton, James B. Jordan, David Chilton, Gary North.
And none of those men are hyper preterists, by the way. I want to make sure our listeners know that they are partial preterists.
Right. And they were, Gary was publishing Dominion Press, which was out of Tyler, Texas. So Gary North was grouping these guys. Ken Gentry was with them, and he was publishing these guys. And I was on college campus at the time working at a Christian bookstore, and so we were getting in all these books, and that's who I was reading. And David Chilton, in his commentary on Revelation, Days of Vengeance, he footnoted Max King. And I knew how to get a hold of Max King's book, Crossing the Parousia of Christ.
And King, was he already a hyper-preterist at that time?
Yes. Now, King had been doing this since 1969, 70, 71.
He's kind of like considered the grandfather of this movement, isn't he?
King is the most, he's the most clearest writer, I think, in Crossing the Parousia. It's an 800-page tome is what it is. If you really want a good grasp of it, that's the book that I recommend there. I think that's, if you really want to understand the detailed inner workings of what's going on, is that book right there.
But I'm assuming you wouldn't want anybody but perhaps a more well-read...
For researching.
Yeah, a well-read Christian who is solid and firmly rooted in historic, confessional Christianity, rather than some new novice who's just going to be blown every way, every direction by
well,
every
right, because reading King now, I see many, many critical mistakes, exegetical mistakes that he made, unaware of at the time, but I'm aware of now. But now, King, which I'm sure you're familiar with,
was in the Church of Christ.
From the background of Church of Christ,
right.
And Barton Stone and
Alexander Campbell.
Alexander Campbell, Restorationist movement, no creeds but Christ. So they've already got kind of an axe to grind with anything formal, religious,
right?
Creedal. They've already thrown off that.
And also, to clarify, the vast majority of ministers and members of that movement, the Restoration movement, Church of Christ movement, they are not full preterists. They, in fact, many of them are very fiery in their opposition to this and would join us in saying that this is dangerous and heretical.
Yes, yes. And I would say also, Chris, that the majority of full preterists today, this is a guesstimation just from my experience of being over a decade in the movement, speaking at over 25 conferences throughout the United States from roughly 2003 to 2007, and getting a feel for that, but largely I would say the full preterists are coming out of the Church of Christ groups, Church of Christ churches.
Right.
A smaller pocket would be the so-called Reformed or Calvinist full preterist.
In many ways, hyper-preterism militates against the hallmarks of the Church of Christ because it really reduces the importance of the Church and sometimes negates its existence, whereas the Church of Christ exalts the importance of the Church and their ordinances, even on many occasions viewing them as salvific.
Yeah.
And whereas...
Baptism being one of them.
Right. And then where you have many who are full preterists not even practicing the ordinances anymore.
That was one of the problems we were having in the mid-2000s was what to do with the ordinances. Because, again, if everything is first century, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Well, he came in 70 A.D., so we don't have to show forth the Lord's death anymore in the table. So... a lot of full preterists got rid of the Lord's table. Don't need it anymore.
So basically, going back to my original question about where you were, I'm assuming then you were either an amillennial at the time or a postmillennial who discovered partial preterism and became fascinated by it, and then made the unfortunate leap from there into full preterism.
Well, I was raised, I've been in church all my life, and I was raised in a dispensational church, Foursquare Gospel Church. And, you know, the Holiness Movement, Pentecostal Assembly of God, Church of God, all of that kind of more or less accepted a dispensationalist kind of approach to things when it came to eschatology. So growing up hearing that, seeing the significance of 70 AD in many of the New Testament texts, you know, all of the discourse and this, that, and the other. But in a dispensationalist mind, all prophecy stands or falls together. So if Matthew 24 is fulfilled, then so is 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, because in the dispensationalist mind, those passages are all talking about the same thing. So if you become a preterist in the Gary DeMar sense, it's very easy with a dispensationalist background to step into a full preterist. It's not that hard. The only real difficulty you have is no one's ever believed this before.
Well, and also the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, maybe. But
right, and you, you
and I don't want I don't want people
back off, you know.
And I don't want people to think that our friend Gary DeMar is somehow dangerous because he's teaching something. Even though I have my disagreements with him, I believe I believe that most of what he is teaching is accurate. But it's just like Calvinism. I don't renounce Calvinism or Reformed theology or the teachings of sovereign grace.
Oh, no.
Because there are hyper Calvinists. In fact, many people who are young in the faith who become Calvinists, unfortunately, become those that are nicknamed in the cage stage of Calvinism or cage stage Calvinism, because they run wild with these truths and exaggerate them. And really, yeah, really, in many ways, become hyper, at least temporarily, become hyper-Calvinists and damn everyone to hell who does not exactly agree with them. And any, I know that I've said this on my show before, but I thought it was kind of humorous when some friends of mine who have thankfully matured in their faith and are biblically sound today in their Calvinism, but when they first became Calvinists, they pulled me aside after a worship service, very angry that the pastor had said, "Choose this day whom you may serve." And I said, "That's in the Bible, by the way." because he said choose, they went bananas. But we have to be careful not to think that just because something can lead to a serious heresy that it's not true before the person makes the extra-biblical or unbiblical or anti-biblical leap.
Yeah, and let me say, Gary DeMar, you know, he's a friend of mine, or rather, I'm a friend of his, and I hold him in high esteem. I recommend anything that he's doing. And Gary takes his own work with the invitation of questions. You know, Gary, you know, would invite questions, and Gary is somebody that, you know, if you've got a better argument, bring it his way, and he'll listen to you. So he's not closed off to that kind of thing, especially when it comes to eschatology. And Dr. Kenneth Gentry just recently republished my book, Why I Left Full Preterism, Dr. Gentry.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so, and Gentry and I have our differences, which are, you know, if you read our materials, you'll see the differences that we have. But nonetheless, I hold Gentry very obviously how he and me publish my book. So that actually is something, you know, I know you have to take some breaks or whatever.
Yeah, that's
actually something that I want to talk about. That how is it that you can have conversations with somebody like Gentry who may, or DeMar, who may go a little further in preterism than, say, the hyper-preterist? How can you have a conversation with them and consider them brothers, but yet the hyper... Well, that actually illustrates the point that we are really going to go after here.
Right, and to keep in mind, folks, that... I think you misspoke there. They don't go further than the hyper-preterists. They go further than you and many partial preterists.
Yes, right.
And because of the fact that they both champion post-millennialism, that is a key difference between a hyper-preterist and a post-millennialist, because the post-millennialists believe that there's a reason that it's called post-millennialism. The post means that Christ is going to return after the millennium. But anyway, we're going to go to our break right now, because I also want you to remind me and our listeners, or perhaps inform our listeners for the first time, what was the straw that broke the camel's back that made you leave hyperpreterism, okay. And then we really have to go into why this is dangerous. Why is this difference different than the difference we have with somebody who believes in a pre-wrath rapture, or somebody who's premillennial, or somebody who is a pessimistic amillennialist rather than an optimistic amillennialist? And we could go on and on and on with differences that genuine brethren have, where we don't feel threatened by one another, and we don't think that the gospel mm-hmm. is in jeopardy by these differences. There's a difference here with the hyper-preterism that makes a difference in eschatology dangerous and damning. But we have to go to our break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal.
If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Sam Frost, who was once a leading proponent of what is called full preterism, as what is called hyper-preterism by those outside of that camp. Because we believe it is a very dangerous and heretical and damning view of eschatology. Sam is the author of Why I Left Full Preterism, and today we are discussing our hyper-preterists, our brethren in Christ, when eschatology becomes a matter of salvation. And in fact, tomorrow night, that's Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m., Sam is going to be debating Michael Miano, who is an advocate of full preterism, and that is going to be held at the Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, Long Island. And I know that the website for the Church of the Intercessor is intercessorchurch.com, but I don't believe that they have anything about the debate on that website. Do you know a place, Sam, where our listeners can go to get all of the details they need for the conference?
It'd have to be Facebook.
Okay.
It's the only place that I know.
And look up Sam Frost on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, look up.
Or Church of the Intercessor or something along those lines.
Yeah, I know that their website, I don't see anything on their website that mentions the debate, but it will give you all the directions and things like that that you need, and that is, once again, intercessorchurch.com, intercessorchurch.com. Maybe if Eddie Pirro is listening, he can make sure that Church of the Intercessor gets an ad for your debate up there quickly so that people can find the information at the church website. Once again, if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, we invite listeners who radically disagree with our guest, if you have a question of your own, whether you are a full preterist yourself, or I know that there are many in the premillennial and postmillennial and amillennial camps that are very vociferously opposed to any kind of preterism. And so that's what makes the matters more complicated, because you and I are partial preterists. So there are, just like with Calvinism, there are people who despise any kind of Calvinism, let alone hyper-Calvinism, and they mislabel authentic, historic, biblical Calvinism as hyper-Calvinism. So we have to, it's a very confusing world that we live in. But anyway, now let's go to the part where I was mentioning before the break, the straw that broke the camel's back with you, that said, all right, I've got to get out of here. I am no longer a full preterist. I am renouncing this. This is really spooky stuff. Let me get out of here. What exactly happened?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was I was reading a book on by Gordon Clark, the philosopher, Reformed philosopher Gordon Clark, and it just inadvertently, it wasn't the point I was reading it. But he had mentioned the, and I had known this before, it's just, you know how you know things before, they just don't connect. You just, you know, years later they connect. And he had mentioned, of course, in the Westminster Confession, where it talks about the number of the elect of of whose number God so knows that can neither be diminished nor increased. So God knows all that are his. And for some reason, that just really stood out. Because in hyperpreterism, it is the understanding that history never ends. This is the new heavens and the new earth. This is the kingdom of Christ ruling over the world. This is what history looks like, and it will go on literally forever. In other words, history never ends. You know, what you see right now. And of course, the issue, you know, you die and you go to heaven, of course. But there'll never be a new heavens and a new earth as originally understood. So history goes on forever. So we were thinking, well, what about procreation? That goes on forever. That procreation goes on forever. Well, if that's the case, then you have an ever-increasing number. And for some reason, that just hit me as odd, of thinking, well, wait a minute. If God knows all his people, but you could always add one more to that, then that's just, obviously, we have a contradiction.
Yeah.
And I began to present that material to the full preterist, and the reactions I was getting back were less than satisfying, because now I was being told that I had to believe in a contradiction, or, we'll put it in more friendly terms, a paradox. But this is actually what we were using against those who were saying that near doesn't mean near. It's a paradox. God's coming is always near, you know, and that's a paradox. And we were arguing against that, and now we were using that same argument. That was a problem for me. I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, we've got an issue here. And it was reading John 6, you know, all that the Father has given to me. All who believe in me are drawn of the Father, and I will raise them in the last day, and I will raise them in the last day. And Jesus says this six times in John 6, and I will raise them in the last day. All who are drawn to me, I will draw all men to myself. You know, all those great passages you see in the Westminster Confession, and, you know, utilize them. And that word all there. And I will raise them, all that are drawn to me, and all that believe, everyone who believes in me has everlasting life, and I will raise them up on the last day. All. It can't be an infinite number.
Right.
And that just, John 6, and the word last day, and I will raise them. Well, who's the them? All that I'm drawing. Well, who is that? Who's that? All who believe. And that, you can see where the connect, it's just like a lightning bolt. Intellectually, and I'm not saying I had a spirit, you know, maybe it was that, I don't know. It was just very clear to me that, oh my gosh, and from there, obviously with last day, I will raise them up on the last day. That wasn't 70 AD. It couldn't be because of the all. I'm wrong on, and it just very quickly, like dominoes, just fell very, very quickly for me.
And
I realized I had a problem, a very, very serious problem here.
I assume that you were, at the time that you were a hyperpreterist, you were still in some way a functioning Calvinist. And I think that your shock, your shock there would have been more understandable being a Calvinist, because obviously an Arminian hyperpreterist or a Pelagian hyperpreterist, or, you know, those that come out of a typical Church of Christ background might not be troubled all that much by that, but obviously it contradicts historic reform theology, which
there's a large rift in the full preterist communities between, because you have such large Church of Christ members, and you have these so-called Calvinist members of this of hyper preterist. There is a large rift, and so I just finished a debate last weekend with Holger Neubauer. He's out of the Church of Christ. He's a Church of Christ minister. He's a hyper-preterist. He is adamantly, and I mean explicitly and adamantly, if you had him on the show, he would agree with every word that I'm getting ready to say. He is adamantly opposed to any form of Calvinism. And then he said, and I am aware of the Calvinists that are among the full-preterists, like Pastor David Curtis, and Michael Sullivan, and we're going after them too. My jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. I thought, oh man, because the reason why Sam Frost left full preterism is because of Calvinism, and we need to root out Calvinism from full preterism. And
wow.
I thought, wow. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate the honesty.
Now, is he? Really do. Is he still somebody who practices the ordinances of the church and so on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there is a division amongst hyper-preterists, even those from out of the Church of Christ who abandon baptism and the Lord's Supper. We're going to our midway break. I know that this all came up very quickly again, but this is our longer-than-normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they air their own public service announcements and commercials in order to localize Zion Sharp and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, while we air our own commercials that are heard globally. So please use this time wisely. Write down questions for Sam Frost. Any question on eschatology will be fine. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, write down the information provided by our advertisers because this will enable you to more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. And we rely upon our advertisers to exist because their advertising dollars are what sustains us. Of course, the sovereignty of God sustains us more than anything, but he uses the means of our benefactors and our advertisers to keep us on the air. So please try to patronize our advertisers as often as you can. But we're going to be back. Oh, and let me just ask Sam Frost a question before I go to the break, and you can answer it when we return. Our friend Eddie Pirro, who is from the Church of the Intercessor, he wants to let our listeners know that he attached information with a link to your profile that has information on the debate on the Church of the Intercessor website. But he also wants to ask the question, how much of the book of Revelation would you say is fulfilled? And you can answer that.
Gosh.
Well, you're going to have about 10 minutes to think about
Thanks,
that.
Eddie. Yeah,
you got about 10 minutes to think about that because that's about how long our break is. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing, especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is
is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. And this is the big news about CVBBS. They are offering my favorite of all time Christian biographies, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cohn. They are offering this for free if you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise. The Pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cohn. I loved this biography so much. I am praying that somebody makes a movie out of it. Spencer Cohn was a 19th century pastor in Manhattan. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of New York City. And his life is so remarkable that it should be a movie, at least a documentary. He was a school teacher. He was a lawyer. He was a theater actor back in the 19th century, a stage actor. He became a minister. He was a war hero in the War of 1812. He was involved in a lot of theological controversies back then in the 19th century. And he even translated his own version of the Bible. I mean, I could go on and on and on about this phenomenal, amazing man that hardly anybody knows about. This is a beautiful hardback biography published by Evangelical Press, and you get it absolutely free. What you have to do is you have to go to cvbbs.com. You have to put this book in your cart along with $50 worth of merchandise that you want to purchase. Then you enter the code Iron Sharpens Iron, all caps, all one word, Iron Sharpens Iron, no spaces, no dots. And then you will get the price of the book a pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cohen, removed from the total. So you do have to put the book in your cart in addition to the other $50 worth of merchandise. That the book, A Pastor in New York, cannot be included in that $50. So that has to be put in there on top of $50 worth of purchases, and then you will get the price of the book removed when you enter coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron. And that's all caps, all one word. And of course, you can just verbally tell whoever answers the phone at CVBBS, if you call them at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you could tell them the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron and tell them that you want the free book, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cohen. I cannot sing the praises of this book more highly. You will be blessed, whether you are a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or whatever you happen to be. You might not even be a Christian and find this book fascinating. So I just highly recommend it. My favorite biography of all time. And before we return to our guest, Sam Frost, we are discussing hyperpreterism. We do have some important announcements to make involving upcoming events, the first of which is one we have already been mentioning. Tomorrow night, that's Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m., Sam will be debating Michael Miano, who is a proponent or advocate of full preterism. That is going to be taking place at the Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, Long Island, New York. And if you want more details, go to the website of the Church of the Intercessor, which is intercessorchurch.com, intercessorchurch.com. You can also go on Facebook and type in Sam Frost, F as in Frank, R-O-S-T, Sam Frost, and you will have the information that you need about this debate on hyperpreterism between our guests Samuel M. Frost and Michael Miano. Then my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon is coming up in a few weeks, Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. My guest speaker is Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics in Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's going to be speaking on the theme, The Dead Sea Scrolls and How They Vindicate the Reliability of the Bible. This is absolutely free to all pastors and elders, and I believe they're the same office, by the way. Deacons, parachurch leaders, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are welcome to attend. This is an event that my precious late wife began in the 1990s because she saw how many friends I had who were ministers, and she wanted to treat them to a wonderful time of rest, relaxation, and fun, and feasting. And she came up with the idea, and I've been doing it ever since. And even after she went home to be with the Lord for eternity, I've been doing it in her memory, in her honor. So I hope that you could come. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And you'll be not only getting fed for free and hearing an excellent message by Dr. Tony Costa for free, but you'll be leaving with a heavy sack of brand new free books that have been donated by major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. You'll probably get more than two or three dozen free books. That's right, I said two or three dozen free books. So I hope that you register. Send me the email, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And then from there, Dr. Tony Costa is heading to Long Island, New York. I will be accompanying him to Long Island, New York for speaking engagements he has there. Everyone is welcome to these events, whether you are a man, woman, or child. They include the New Hyde Park Baptist Church of New Hyde Park, Long Island, New York. They include Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, and Missio Church in Ridge, Long Island, New York. These events will take place between Friday, the 24th of May, and Sunday, the 26th of May. If you want the full speaking itinerary of Dr. Tony Costa, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Dr. Tony Costa in the subject line. I will email you the full itinerary with all the information that you need to attend. Then, as soon as Dr. Costa is finished on Long Island, I am going to be heading back to Pennsylvania, to Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, more specifically to the Elizabethtown College, for the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. Speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Steve Nichols, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. That is from Tuesday, the 28th of May, through Thursday, the 30th of May. at the Elizabethtown College, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. If you are a man in ministry leadership, you are welcome to register at banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference, and I hope to see you there. Then, coming up in December, on the 19th and 20th of December, I will be heading out to my old stomping grounds, New York, for the Foundations Conference, which is a conference of sermonaudio.com. And this is going to be held Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, in Manhattan. And the speakers are always extraordinary, and this December is no exception. They include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, whose voice you heard or hear every day promoting New Covenant Church NYC, one of our sponsors. He is the founder of One Passion Ministries, and he is one of the most powerful preachers alive today, in my opinion. Paul Washer, who is another one of the most powerful preachers alive today, is on the roster. Jeff Thomas, who I would also include in that category of the most powerful preachers alive today. Reverend Armin Tomasian, what a gift to the body of Christ he is. He is a young pastor, but he has gifts and abilities beyond his youth, and I believe he's going to become a household name, especially amongst Reformed Christians within the next decade. He is just phenomenal. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, I have not yet heard either of them preach yet, but since Sermon Audio selected them, I'm sure they are also magnificent. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and register. And I would do it quickly because they can only hold about a little less than 200 people in their venue. And remember, it's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City. Then I'm heading out to Georgia once again, to the G3 conference. That's in January for G3 2020. G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And specifically, the dates are January 16th, which is a Thursday, through January 18th, which is a Saturday, at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. Typically, over 5,000 people attend this magnificent event, and I will once again be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, so I hope to see you there. The speakers include Kosti Hinn, who is, believe it or not, the nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn. And Kosti has renounced his word of faith background. He has renounced it as dangerous and damning heresy. And he is now a cessationist and a Reformed Baptist. And he is on the roster of speakers. David Miller is on the roster. David Miller is also a profound preacher. Derek Thomas, who is obviously no stranger to anyone who is Reformed alive today. Derek Thomas is one of the most phenomenal writers and speakers in the body of Christ. My friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, is going to be speaking there. Joel Beakey, who's also been a friend of mine going back to the early 1990s. What a powerful preacher and writer he is. Josh Bice, who is the founder of the G3 Conference. Oh, and once again, we have Paul Washer on the roster and Stephen Lawson on the roster. My friend Tom Askell, Executive Director of Founders Ministries, and Vody Balcom, also such an amazing gift to the body of Christ. What a powerful teacher and writer he is. Go to g3conference.com to register, g3conference.com. And I would strongly urge you to register also for an exhibitor's booth if you have a ministry or business that you want to promote, because over 5,000 people attend this conference every year, and it's an ideal place to promote whatever it is you're doing, as long as it's compatible with the philosophy and theology of the G3 conference. I have gained much benefit from my own exhibitors booth there, and I'm sure you will too. That's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you do not want us to disappear from the airwaves, please, we urgently need your donations in order to remain on the air. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And I have these two caveats that I try to remember to remind you every day. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Please don't do that. And please never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your home. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money to use for benevolent purposes, and you love this show, you take advantage of the free MP3s and share them with others, you love the guests and topics that are heard here that are sometimes never heard anywhere else, then please go to I'm just about to give the G3 conference website. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of donations to pay bills that have not yet been paid, and our existence is in jeopardy once again. So please help us out. If you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will try to launch an ad campaign with you quickly because we truly do need your advertising dollars, as well as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. And if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So please repent of that. Make a change today and try to find a good Bible-believing church near you. If you need help, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I can help you find a church. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And even if you're going on vacation somewhere and you need a good church to visit while you are away from home, I can help you there as well. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address to you where you could send in a question for our guest today, Samuel M. Frost, author of Why I Left Full Preterism. We are discussing, are hyper-preterists our brethren in Christ when eschatology becomes a matter of salvation? And we are promoting the debate tomorrow night in Malvern, Long Island, on full preterism. Send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as you remember, probably, Sam, our mutual friend Eddie Pirro, who is a member of the Church of the Intercessor, who is actually a major part of this debate you're involved in, he asked the question, how much of the book of Revelation is already fulfilled in your humble opinion?
Is Eddie listening?
I assume he is. I almost thought you got raptured for a second.
I answer some of it.
Is that really the best answer you're going to give, Eddie?
I'm not going to give a...
Oh, you don't want to give away the store for your debate tomorrow, I guess.
Perhaps. No, not that.
And please back away from the mouthpiece of whatever you're using. You're vibrating.
Most of the stuff I read on Revelation is more academia, so I move away from the apocalypse in that it's pinpointing dates and times and calendars and all that kind of stuff. I think that's what lends to its style, in that it can be interpreted in so many different ways, is I think it's dealing with larger general themes than any specific particular time frame. I know a lot of people want to take, for example, the harlot as Jerusalem in 70 AD, and it can only mean that, and it means nothing else. I've since have shifted away from that kind of thinking that it is exclusively, or I'm looking at these events as they unfold in Revelation as exclusively referring to these historical kind of things that you can pinpoint on a calendar.
So you believe in dual fulfillment, like...
And I don't like the phrase dual. I don't like dual fulfillments. I don't
okay.
like... Yeah, I try to move away from that kind of thing more than I see that Revelation is painting for us a picture of the reign and rule of the Lamb of God at the right hand of the Father. And he's painting us a picture in terms of a divine worship service, a heavenly worship service. And this is what it looks like. Well, this is what history looks like. This is what is going on. In other words, this is what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay. Now,
and it gives us that kind of a thing. Now, some people refer to that as idealist. I don't like idealist. I don't like that kind of thing. Coming out of hyper-preterism, I don't want to get pigeonholed into, like you would say, amillennial. What does that mean?
Right.
Well, these things are coming for more for me. Like if I asked you, you would say I'm millennial, and then you and I would start talking. I would find that you would have some nuances going on yourself that you wouldn't find typically under an amillennial.
Right. Most amillennialists I know are not partial preterists, and I am. So I...
Right, yeah. Yes, exactly. So there you go. So I don't want to taint the word amillennial. Amillennialism means partial preterism. Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't.
Right. Just as the word Calvinist does not mean the many things that umbrella comes under when you say Calvinist.
Especially in the minds of those who have never read a work by a Calvinist in their lives and have only read...
I counter that.
They've only read polemical works against Calvinism and have developed caricatures in their minds that they think are true. Now, let me ask you a question myself about that. Ken Gentry's book, The Beast of Revelation, actually convinced me that it was Nero. What do you think about that interpretation that Ken has?
Without getting myself in trouble.
He may rip that book off of the production line.
This is actually neat because it leads to this, to the discussion at hand, which is, how can you and Ken and you and Chris, and you get Gary and Chris and Eddie Pirro, and you get you all in the same room and you disagree on who the heart. So how in the world can you condemn, with your disagreements, how can you condemn hyperpreterism? And the answer is simple, is that Eddie, Chris, Gary, Ken, myself, believe in the resurrection of the body at the last day in a new heaven and a new earth and a visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who will restore all things. So we're in that conversation. We're at that table. The hyperpreterist is not at that table and is not having that conversation, because that conversation for him or her is past. It's redefined in a completely different way. That when I say new heavens and new earth to Gary DeMar or Ken Gentry or to yourself or to Eddie, we know what we're talking about because we're saying the same thing. When you say new heaven and new earth to a hyperpreterist, you're getting a completely different 180-degree removed approach. And that's where it gets into trouble, because you're stepping outside of the bounds of what the church has always believed about these fundamental, basic bounds that we do not cross. And we don't cross them because we believe in the creeds are on par with Scripture. We believe that on these fundamental matters, the creeds are derived from Scripture.
Right.
And has set our bounds, has set the boundaries. This is Christianity. This is the historic faith. A Calvinist and an Arminianist can have a discussion because neither one denies these fundamental things on eschatology. Or a dispensationalist and a Reformed Baptist can have a conversation because they agree on resurrection of the body, the visible bodily coming of the Lord. Because here's another thing, Chris. Michael Miano does not believe that Jesus Christ with human nature, body and soul, is at the right hand of the Father today.
Yeah, I've heard that there are full preterists who take that view, and some, perhaps a minority at this point, deny or obscure the bodily resurrection of Christ.
Yes, and they have to get rid of the body because they spiritualize resurrection of the body.
Right.
So Jesus could not have ascended in his human form, in his human body, could not be glorified and ascended into the right hand of the Father.
Now, I don't want to put words in Michael Miano's mouth, though. I don't know if he denies the resurrection of the physical body.
He doesn't deny the resurrection body, but he says explicitly that Jesus divested and destroyed the body of earth, the body in the days of his flesh. He is no longer in. He is no longer incarnate in that body. That to me is it just blows. It undermines everything that the Christian faith is built upon.
Right. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland. who says, wow. I'm thinking of Matthew 24, verse 14, in two respects. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then to the and then the end will come. First, it's abundantly clear that by AD 70, the gospel had not been preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. How would full preterists explain this? And I will read Murray's second question after you answer that one.
She's right.
He's right. He's right.
He's right. There's the Roman world, and then you have Gaul, which is France. You had Upper Britain, of which they were making incursions into. You had the Caucasus, which Rome never... You had the Silk Road, which went east of Parthia, which is as far as Rome went. But there was a whole other group of people in the Orient that, if you read Strabo in the first century, they were very well familiar with. They knew who they were. What about these people? This gospel was never preached. Are you telling me within 27 years the gospel had been preached in the entire world of the known populations of people? It's impossible. Paul never reached Spain. He never reached the southern tips of Africa. There was no time for that. So I realize that partial preterists will say, well, the end was 70 AD. But see, when you do that, you're opening up a door. To me, you're opening up a door to full preterism to come in and say, well, that's the end. And I think that there's a much larger message that Jesus is saying, and Matthew, rather, is saying, is that this gospel is to continue to be preached all the way up to the last day. That's essentially what he's saying there. So that's our mission, that's our duty unto the end of the age. And so I would agree with that question. Totally.
And let me read now Murray's second question. And let's see here. Oh, how did I accidentally delete Murray's second question? Let me just, here it is. Secondly, in light of what has just been discussed, with all things going on and on, what exactly do full preterists understand by the end will come, and how do they think this was fulfilled in AD 70? Merely by the destruction of Jerusalem? The first part of the verse is global, but do they understand the last part to be only local?
Yeah. Because the word world and all the earth and the word all and all that, so all that stuff becomes reduced to 70 AD. All that language becomes reduced. You have to reduce that language, minimize that language down. So that you don't take it literal. But the only problem is, as Holger Neubauer stated in my debate last weekend, that he doesn't believe in original sin. He doesn't believe that all men are sinners, that all men die because as a result of sin and all this bunch of other stuff. And the reason why he doesn't is because the word all doesn't mean all the world, because in 70 AD he realizes that all the world literally was not judged. It was all covenantally. And therefore, all men have fallen short of the glory of God does not mean all, every individual human being. See? You see how you start doing this and you start whittling down all of these passages and you end up with something that's completely foreign to anything that you've ever heard before. Now, I accused Holger of being basically Pelagian, which he really didn't have a problem with. He said that. Because what I was hearing is that Adam was just a normal human being who was going to die anyway, individually sinned against God, but his sin was not bequeathed to anybody else. You're responsible for your own thing. You're your own Adam. And I'm like, well, that's Pelagian. That's straight out of the playbook. And what he didn't have a problem with that. He looked at, you know, like, what's the problem? I'm like, well, because it's so... It's Romans 5. It's so obviously. See, now, I never, as a full preterist, I was never operating in that paradigm, like you said before. I still was operating within, you know, one foot in evangelical theology and one foot in full preterist theology, and I was trying to bridge the gap to bring those two things together. And I discovered that that cannot be done. you cannot maintain an evangelical Christianity, whether it be Reformed or Methodist or, but, you know, conservative evangelical Bible-believing Christianity, and remain a hyper-preterist at the same time. That cannot be done. I'd like to see somebody try it. I've seen attempts of it being tried, but it cannot be done, which led to my conclusion this is not, this is no more Christian than Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or David Koresh or any other Jim Jones, you know, just make your own stuff up. Read your Bible. You don't need the creeds. You don't need commentaries. You don't need history. Just you and your Bible. Make up whatever you want to. And at what point do you draw the line? That was my other question. When you deny the continuing incarnation of Christ, when you deny progressive sanctification, when you deny resurrection of the body, you deny last day, you deny the visible coming of the Lord, you deny new heavens and new earth, at what point do you, and yet you still want to call yourself a Christian, when you've denied key, fundamental, core things that have historically defined the Christian faith? So my question to the hyper-preterist is, at what point do you draw the line? What makes you different from a Mormon? Because they believe in Jesus, do they not? They believe in the Bible, do they not? And they believe in the Holy Spirit. And they believe in God the Father. They mention all this vocabulary. It's like Walter Martin said, but when you ask them to define their terms, that is where you run into the problems. We all use the same terms. You know, it's, who do you say that I am?
Right.
And that's the problem. So it's not enough for me that the hyper-preterist says, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in resurrection. I believe in the Bible. I believe in salvation and grace by faith. You know, Chris, ask them what they mean by those terms.
Right.
You're going to hear something that's going to really cause your ears to burn.
Right. And in fairness, we've got to point out that the Mormons are polytheists. Even though they might not describe themselves that way, they believe in an infinite number of gods because they believe that they, if they are faithful Mormons, will become gods of their own planet. So obviously there are differences the way I'm assuming most hyper-preterists view monotheism and so on. So we don't want to give the wrong idea that they believe that.
Oh, no. My point there is that they use phrases that are Christian phrases.
Right, right.
It's just when you ask them to define those Christian phrases, you get populated planets and, you know. But I asked one hyper-preterist, I said, well, if we sin now, why do we still sin? If I'm perfect and raised from the dead now, will I continue to sin in heaven? And his answer was yes.
And jeez, what kind of a place is that to look forward to?
I'm like, well, I'm not... You know, heaven is just more of the same old, same old. I'm like, well, that's...
Wow.
This is the kind of thing that you're getting because once you've thrown off history as any kind of boundary marker, then you're free to think pretty much whatever you want to do, wherever the road leads. And these people go down these roads, and I've watched lives destroyed. I've watched... There's a new faction within hyper-preterism called Israel Only. And these are hyper-preterists. And what they believe is that the gospel only applied to ethnic Israel. That was all wrapped up in 70 AD. There is no church today. There is nothing. There's nothing. Basically, it's an agnostic Christianity that's advocating that 70 AD literally wrapped up the entire thing. There's no necessity for church, gatherings, any of it. Even reading your Bible, and basically it's ended up in this kind of universalism kind of thing, and this is a growing movement that hyper-preterists like Michael Miallo is trying to combat. He's actually arguing against this extremity within hyper-preterism.
Of course, since he's a pastor.
Now you even have an extremity within hyper-preterism, like hyper-hyper-preterism.
Right. It's ironic that there are similarities that you just mentioned with hyper-dispensationalists, the hyper-dispensationalists believe in the perpetuity of the church until the end of all things on earth. They are no longer conducting the ordinances of the church, and there's some other similarities that you mentioned. I'm going to read a question for you before we go to our final break, and you can answer it when we return. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, I was surprised that a partial preterist friend of mine said that Revelations chapter 7, verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. This person said that this was fulfilled already, and he's not a full preterist. That troubles me because I don't believe that every nation on the earth has yet been evangelized, so therefore the elect from out of those groups could not be a part of that number yet. Well, anyway, we're going to go to our final break. You can answer that when we come back.
Yep.
Okay. If anybody wants to join us with a question of their own, now's the time to do it. We're running out of time. Our email address, once again, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state of residence, in your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us. and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord.
support to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, we've got about a little less than 10 minutes with our guest Sam Frost, who is discussing hyperpreterism, and we're also promoting a debate that is taking place in Malvern, Long Island, tomorrow night at 7 at the Church of the Intercessor. He is debating Michael Miano, who is a proponent or advocate of full preterism. And if you'd like to join us on the air, do it quickly, because we're going to be out of time before you know it. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Sam Frost, as you may remember, before the break, CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, was troubled by the fact that a partial preterist, not a full preterist, said that Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 is already completely fulfilled, and that states, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." And obviously that would imply, if you believe that's completely fulfilled, that the entire earth and every single tribe and language has been evangelized, which even missionaries that I have spoken with would say that that has not yet occurred in a full way. And your response?
Well, I again agree. I recently went... visited my son who works there in Washington, D.C., and we went to the Bible Museum that they had recently built there. And there's one section there, I think it's on the third floor, where it shows the evangelized nations where the gospel has actually been published in print. And here you have, of course, you know, Wycliffe Bible translators and things of that nature. And then, you know, which was, you know, hundreds, just hundreds of books were this representation going on this large wall. And then you step over and you see the tribes and nations of indigenous peoples on the earth that have no written Bible. And it's a lot. And it is staggering when you see it, when you see it in the way that they've presented it. And you know, the whole mission of Wycliffe Bible Translators is to do just that. And I think that that is exactly the impetus of what has, even among what is little known, you mentioned among people that read caricatures of Reformed, but you go among the early, in America, where we were translating the Native Americans that were here, we were bringing their language in written form to published gospels. This is at the Bible Museum where I did not know this, of how much missionary activity was involved among it, of bringing their language. Now, these are language that the English had never heard before, and yet we're bringing it into a written language for them in order to translate the Bible. We're talking 17th century kind of stuff here. I was blown away by this. And these were Puritans. These were Calvinists that were doing this kind of stuff. Why are they doing this? Well, to publish the gospel as a testimony in all the nations of whom God has known from all of time, and to bring those in until what? See, when you leave off that until what, and you say that that's 70 AD, then where are we heading? What are we doing? What is it? You take purpose out of it. You take meaning out of it. And for me, the passage that in Revelation 7, I like to think that I'm in that snapshot of people that he's seeing there, this innumerable
right.
multitude from every tribe, language, and nation. And somewhere in that vision that he saw, Chris, your head's in there and my head's in there somewhere in that picture.
Amen.
Yeah, and that, to me, is inspiring, and the to me, the hyper-preterist message doesn't have that inspiration, which is why this movement has fragmented into the divisions of which it has so rapidly, because you've disconnected from history.
And now I've got to ask you a very important question. Why is the hyper-preterist heresy damning? Other than, and I know that you've already indicated reasons throughout the broadcast, but really summarize it to its core. Why is this different than the differences we have between premillennial, amillennial, and postmillennial, and mid-wrath, pre-wrath, rapture, and mid-trib, and all this? This is different. Why? And why is it damning?
I think because it denies many, many fundamental core things that define Christianity, but its ultimate aspect that I find freely admitted among these hyper-preterists is that Jesus is no longer body and soul, human being, incarnate, glorified body in heaven. I find that increasingly being denied.
Yeah,
that to me is the linchpin. That's the one that did it for me. Now, if you want to tweak eschatology and have some part, that's great. But now you're hitting Christology. Now you're hitting into issues that if Jesus is no longer continuing incarnate human being, one of my brothers in heaven at God's right hand, I give up. I'm done.
Right. You know, he is no longer the God-man mediating for us.
Absolutely. And you should hear how they get around that, because I point that verse out. The God-man is the mediator, who is the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. And they have to redefine man. Well, man doesn't need a body. He's a covenant man. He's a spirit. And it just gets around the obvious. To me, it gets around. They're trying to get around the obvious, and it's damning to the faith now, because now you're the question: who do you say that I am? You're giving me a different Jesus.
And don't forget, folks, tomorrow night, Saturday, May 4th, 7 p.m., Sam Frost will be debating hyper-preterist Michael Miano on these issues at the Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, Long Island, New York. And if you need more information, go to intercessorchurch.com, intercessorchurch.com. You can also look up Sam Frost on Facebook. I want to thank you so much, Sam, for being my guest today. I look forward to your return, Perhaps we can talk about how the debate went when you come back. I want to thank everybody at the Church of the Intercessor that helped me prepare for this interview. I want to wish you all a very safe and happy and blessed weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.